You want to, you can turn to the first chapter of Jonah, small little book in the Bible. Some time ago, we was listening to an Old Testament, I guess you would call him, he wouldn't be considered an Old Testament because the Jews don't believe that there is a New Testament. But then he was a Jewish scholar, and that he had studied the Old Testament, and that the Jewish religion teaches that they their God, Lord God Jehovah, come to them and chose them of all the people of this world, and that they would worship God as He would require of them, and that they were that chosen people. But yet this man spoke about the instance of Jonah, and that. That it was somewhat perplexing to Jewish scholars, as it were, the whole book of Jonah, because here we find a prophet of God, prophet of Israel, going to a far away heathen people, and they repent. And us that are Christians, we can see that in the book of Jonah and what was done here. Was a picture of what was yet to come, that the salvation of the Jews was to be shed abroad to all of mankind, and we see that this whole story points to Christ. But we're not going to speak on that as much as we're going to speak about a particular prophet, and his name was Jonah. He was a man, as you would read this short little book, and I would encourage anybody. This day, even though you might have read it many times, that you might go home and that you might read these few chapters. There's only four chapters in Jonah, and to see that this was a man that was an angry man, a man that no doubt in his life had been faced with circumstances that he felt that he could not get out of. I can understand maybe that if you was a Jew and you served the Lord as he said for you was to do, and that you had all these heathen nations around you, that it would be probably easy to understand, though it was taught to you, maybe not so, that the God of Israel was a God within the boundaries of Israel. We find that Jonah was chosen of God to go preach to the people of Nineveh. If you want to read, it says in the second verse, it says, "Arise here, God speaking to Jonah," and it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid a fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, we read this and we thought, why of all the people did the Lord pick Jonah? Here was a man that when the Lord said go, he not only said, "Lord, I don't want to go," but he said, "I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to go," in his mind, "to a place where the Lord isn't there." And I thought to myself, what a scare! If it were possible to go to a place where God's not, it truly would be an awful place, would it not? But yet we have one here, and his name was Jonah. And he thought, "Well, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get in a ship, and I'm going to go far from my land, far from where I've heard about the Lord." And why would God choose Jonah to preach this message? Well, we can read on a little further, if you would, and you'll find out that Jonah was a man of the world. Maybe that's why he thought there was a place that he might go where God was not, because it was a very popular opinion back. You can read in the Old Testament. The Philistines would talk about the God of Israel. I believe it was the Philistines said that their gods were the gods of the plains, and that the God of Israel was the God of the hills and the mountains. And this was, as it were, in a culture where there was many gods, that the gods of the Assyrians
Assyrians. I was over the Assyrians. Now when they were defeated in battle, sometimes it was said because they had dwelled, they had went into the area of another god. So no doubt this is why Jonah thought there would be a place that he might go where he would be able to go out of the presence of the Lord God of Israel. We see it today, how our culture is creeping into this church. We get it from all sides. And if we ain't careful, we'll begin to think like Jonah. We'll begin to think as the world thinks. But that's why he gave us his word. And that's why he loved Jonah. When Jonah went the other way. Listen, I want to tell you, God had already prepared Jonah for the journey. We know that he was so well spoke that when the storm began to raise and the sea began to boil, that we find Jonah in the belly of that ship. Oh, it said all the men there on that ship was praying to their gods. This was a storm like no other storm, no doubt. For these were seafaring men. They'd been on the ocean. We were talking to Jeeva today, and we said, does it thunder over there in India like you heard last night? And he said, well, no, it does, but not to the severity or the loudness that he heard last night. But these were men that were accustomed to storms on the ocean. But yet we see them there praying each and every one to their own God. The captain of the ship would come down there, and there lay Jonah, and he thought, no doubt, here we are about to perish. And what is this man laying here? Not praying to his God, but Jonah in his mind had crossed a place out of the presence of his Lord. For what purpose would there be to pray to a God when he had fled from his presence? And the captain, the heathen again, to preach to Jonah, and he said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, and so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So now listen to me. They begin to ask Jonah, for he was not speaking in the Hebrew tongue. I don't know if he was speaking in a diverse culture, as it were, where there was many languages. It seems as if and within those cultures of intermingling that there is a predominant language, and maybe the captain wasn't speaking in his native tongue, but in a tongue that yet Jonah himself understood. But yet Jonah, we know, did not speak in the Hebrew tongue, because they asked him, where are you from? And he began to tell them, and now listen to me. And they responded as they were exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him once again, here we find a man. The Lord says, I want you to go to preach to the children of Nineveh. And he fled to Tarsus to get out of the presence of the Lord. And the Lord used heathen man to begin to tell Jonah what he ought to do. Listen to me now. There are those today that think somehow in our world that culture and in our generation that God's not the same as he always has been. But I want to tell you, you can't get out of the presence of the Lord. But the Bible tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad? He is greater than any compass. For a compass gives you direction because it always points to the north. I want to tell you, God is that north. He is the Bible, as it were, is the compass, and he draws men unto him, as we see him working in the life of Jonah. So Jonah's there once again. He understands, don't you think, as he was asleep in the belly of the ship, maybe he was a sound sleeper, but kind of like me. God had provided and planned and set forth this trip. I don't know how Jonah was able to learn the tongue of the Ninevites, but yet here he was, and the Lord had called him, and so he went the other direction, and the men said, well, what should we do? Well, what is there to do if you're dwelling outside the presence of the Lord? Jonah said, well, just throw me over the ship. Now listen, the men didn't want to do that. After all, if they had perceived this all to be wrong, they didn't want the blood of an innocent man on their hands. So they rode sore, the Bible says. Yet, and it was all in vain. To the point, I got a picture as we were reading that last night. We got a picture of the captain there. As the men raised up Jonah and that old ship was rocking, they tried everything, had they not? They cried out to their gods. Jonah cried out to his. But yet the sea, as it was so violently raging. And I can see them now as they lift him up and the waves swept over the ship. That the captain cried out, Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. And there they cast him off. The Bible tells me, as we begin to read, if you would, Jonah, that Jonah had it in his mind that the way of Tarshish is not out of the presence of the Lord, but the depths of the sea certainly there I can get out of the presence of the Lord. So as they cast him off, the sea began to be quiet and to be still, as it were, and the men realized at that point that it was the God of Jonah and that had quieted the sea. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. It says, Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. If only they but knew that if any here today perish, it won't be for my sin. It'll be because of thine own. We find here, it says, and lay not upon us innocent blood. You know, if there was ever an innocent man killed, his name is Jesus. And the Bible teaches me that he had never experienced sin, that he was holy and pure, and he died the greatest death devised for sinners, as he stretched out his arms and he gave his life for me and you, innocent blood. But this prayer cannot be removed from us. We cannot say, relieve us of the responsibility of this innocent blood without we repenting unto the Almighty God. Because, see, it's not because Daryl was so wicked and Jesus Christ had to die for me that blood is on your hands. But it's on your hands because you too was a wicked sinner. If you've not been born again, you too are a wicked sinner. This teaches me, you know, I heard a woman told me more or less that she had value because Christ had died for her. But I begin to tell her that though we might all have value because we are a creation of God, we are not valuable because Christ died for us. But because he died for us signifies just how needy we are and how destitute we are. For surely if there was any other way, Jesus Christ, as he prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will but thine be done. The Father would have said, though he's a knower of all things, he could have said, I just want it for moment in time for you to walk on earth and to heal, physically heal men, come here to heaven. But there was no other way. So the Father looked down on his only begotten Son, and as his sweat became gave us great drops of blood as he pleaded his case before the Almighty God. He surrendered to the will of the Father. He did not surrender unto his own, but his own will was the Father's glory to God. And we find here Jonah saying, no doubt in his mind, I strove to flee from the presence of the Lord. And we see here, as he maybe looked up at the angry clouds, of the lightning and the rumblings, and the ocean. You know, I've never been out on the deep sea, but I've seen it on television, or great big ships. You can see them and then they'll disappear. I'm talking about battleships. Ships big enough to lay the airplanes on. And the ocean can be so rough so that the waves are retired in these battleships, and that they'll dip them down in the ocean, and that there'll be waves all around. And as Jonah looked up, and no doubt in his mind, he thought the way to Tarshish was the way out of the presence of the Lord. So he looked up and he seen the angry clouds, and he told them to throw him overboard. They cast him in the sea. But the Bible tells me that God had prepared a fish. And you know, God could have prepared that fish that moment. But you know, to understand the workings of the Lord and see how He works, the Lord, sometimes I think people have a misunderstanding of just how powerful He is. Sometimes I think they think, oh no, that the Lord finds Himself in positions where, oh, I've got to do something now. He knew well in advance of what was going to transpire. And when that fish was given life in the depths of the sea, the Lord knew which fish was going to one day swallow a prophet that thought he could go out of the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says that for 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah dwelled in the belly of that fish. We could surmise and think all that we want to, but Jonah had some issues, did he not? It took 3 days for him to work it out. You know, I know that sometimes when people have bouts of depression, that they just want to sleep, and they just want to get off somewhere, and they just want to go to sleep. If there was ever a depressed man, it was Jonah. We find him in the belly of a ship, sleeping away in the midst of a storm that had the sailors praying to their God. And we find one here. I don't know how often Jonah slipped in and out of consciousness, but maybe he woke up and he thought, oh, I'm still alive. He'd go back to sleep. Or pass out as it were. Wake up again. Oh, I'm still alive. Go back to sleep. Well, after 3 days and 3 nights of it, the Bible teaches me that he woke up and he began to pray. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has prepared me and you for today's journey. And though regardless of how dark it might be, the Lord was preparing Jonah. Amen? I tell you what the Lord was doing. It was greater than just preparing Jonah. He was preparing a message to be preached to the people of Nineveh. Because of what kind of a message could be delivered to the Ninevites by a preacher who thought that he wasn't even in the presence of God in this foreign land? For surely if he could go by the way of Tarshish to get out of the presence of the Lord, he could go just as far the other direction to Nineveh and be out of the presence of the Lord. And he thought that he could go to the depths of the sea and be out of the presence of the Lord. When he began to preach the judgment that was to come in 40 days, how could he have preached it with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength? The Lord was preparing a message for Jonah to preach. And I like what he says. After 3 days, maybe as he was passing in and out of consciousness, you know, he began to evaluate his life. I don't know, once again, we can only speculate of Jonah's life, how he learned of these different languages, what his job was. Oh, we just know that he was the son of Amitta. But yet we find him there, and he begins to pray, and he says, I said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heard my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. So I believe by this statement alone that we see a man that when he told those men, have you ever met people that they've made a mess of their life? No doubt that's what Jonah was thinking on this ship. Oh, I should have went to Nineveh. I should have not have tried to get out of the presence of the Lord. And they just give up. They thought, well, I've made a mess of it all. Just cast me into the sea where I can truly leave the presence of the Lord, that I'll not have to stand before Him a failure. But we find out here that He said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I looked again toward thy holy temple. The waters can pass me about, even to the soul, and death closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thy holy temple. They that observe lying for vanities forsake their own mercies. And I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You know, we once again have no way of knowing where that storm come from, how far it blew that ship off the course that it was going on. We don't know how far that journey. You know, the New Testament speaks of a whale here. It speaks of a fish, and I've always said, well, both of them right. It was a whale of a fish, but you know, I know that scientists tell me that there are whales that are go plumb across the Pacific Ocean. And I don't know how far. I don't know how far a great fish like that could swim in 3 days and 3 nights. But it could make a transatlantic journey. I know that there's whales that make a transatlantic journey. And I don't know how long that takes. But anyhow, Jonah thought that he could go this direction. And in doing so, God was preparing him to go this direction. It wasn't until he reached the depths of the ocean that he understood that there was nowhere Jonah could go out of his presence. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the words of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You know, I truly believe that when the Lord said this the second time, it had so much greater relevance. Because in the mind of Jonah, that these people of Nineveh dwelled also in the presence of the Lord. And we know, if you study out the Holy Scripture, we know that that a prophet that was to prophesy, and if his prophecy did not come to pass, he was to be put to death.
I know that, no doubt, that amongst the prophets there was those that truly were of the sons of the prophets would weigh out each prophecy that was spoken, and that they themselves would take pride in the fact, though they shouldn't, it was of the Lord's doing, and it was the Lord seeing these things, not they themselves. But when they would prophesy, that they would want to see this prophesy come to pass and be fulfilled. Oh, for one, it elevated them further, no doubt, up in their within their standing. And then if the people obeyed the law, and it didn't come to pass, they were killed. But here we find a prophet of the Lord in the land of Nineveh. And his preaching was so with such power that it convicted a heathen nation, so that the king had them all fast and sit in sackcloth and ashes, even unto the cattle, that the cattle themselves was not to feed or to drink water. And God repented of the evil that he had said unto that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And this displeased Jonah. And he said, more or less, to God, I knew this is what you do. But you know, I don't think, studying that, I don't know that Jonah was really 100% honest with the Lord there. Because if you see his actions, I think that he was a man of indifference. Didn't care one way or the other. A man that thought that he could get out of the presence of the Lord. But yet we find a man here that was saddened and displeased and angry because the Lord had repented. I'm thinking that no doubt he was so wrapped up in himself that he thought, well, how does this reflect of me? Here I am supposed to be a prophet of the Lord. I said in 40 days, the Lord's going to destroy them. And here they repented. Wait till the people back in Israel hears this. Well, they'll say, I'm not a prophet at all. We're just days ago, he didn't care, did he? He didn't care if anybody seen him as a prophet. He was going to go to Tarshish. And the Lord once again is not finished with Jonah. The Bible says that he prepared a gourd and the gourd grew up. For Jonah went out there on the hillside to see if the Lord was going to keep the words that he had said by the mouth of Jonah. You've got to understand, the Bible said that it was a great city that was a 3 days' journey. And he went in a day's journey and he began to preach. And I don't know, you know, once again, we can only speculate. I don't know how long it was from when he was spit up on the shore to when he got to Nineveh. But you know, I know that a preacher, when he preaches, that he uses a life experiences. And I don't know if he relayed to them, there is no place that my God cannot see. From the shores of Tarshish to the depths of the ocean, my Lord sees all things and he's seen your iniquity. And he preached it with such convincing power that it caused a whole city to repent. And this in itself displeased Jonah. And he laid there, as it were, in the sun. Says, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there he made a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would come of that city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. And then the Lord prepared a worm. He ate the gourd. Jonah was upset. And he fainted and he wished for himself to die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for that for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, when are more than 64,000 persons, 120,000 people, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. You know, who are those that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? This wasn't a city full of ignorant people. I believe this was God counting those children that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. I believe God was telling Jonah, there's 120,000 children and of the cattle, and you are more concerned with this gourd. You know, that is where the story ends. But I know that because of the workings of the Lord, that God still yet was not finished with Jonah, for Jonah had much to learn, as we do this day. I am thankful that though we are on a journey in this life, that when the Lord would speak to us and we would choose to go elsewhere, that there is no place that we can go out of the presence of the Lord. And that He sees us, there's no place that we can hide and do those things that God is not knowing of. And that even in the belly of a whale, at the depths of the ocean, there is a place for repentance. And though we might repent unto the Lord, it's not to change us instantly overnight, is it? Jonah, if you read this account, and I would encourage all of you, Jonah was an angry man. I don't know why the issues in his life that made him so angry, but yet he was so angry because a gourd had perished and died and left him there in the sun to the point that he wished he would die. As we get some song today, are you so wrapped up in your life that you don't see the lives of others? A man so wrapped up in what he was wanting to do that he would contemplate if it were possible to go somewhere that God is not. If there was a land, and if it was called Tarshish, that we could go out of the presence of the Lord, who here would want to go there? If we fully had an understanding of what it would be like to be outside of the blessings of God. And I'm not speaking of us that are Christians, but I'm speaking of those that have been born in this life, that have benefited from the many blessings of God, though we are a stranger unto Him, and though we know Him not as our Savior. Would you want to go to a place out of the presence of the Lord? Well, the Bible tells me that there is a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels, a place that is so awful. And no doubt the greatest of all of the fears and the torment and the torture that is there is that it is a place out of the presence of the Lord. Are you so enwrapped that sometimes these things that you wish, if you was to get them, would be the very things that would lead to your demise? I'm thankful that God, in His foreknowledge and in His love and in His wisdom, seeing that Jonah was in need of a fish, back there in the land of the Hebrews, when He prepared that fish, He knew that there was one that was going to disobey His commandment, and because of that fish, was going to see his need for repentance. I'm thankful that the Lord, if we would but look with these eyes, how long would it take Daryl, if we could ask this question, how long would it take Daryl in the belly of a fish before he realized that Daryl is not his own, that Daryl's wills and his wants and his wishes are of no value whatsoever. About that, what the Lord would have us to do is the only thing that will stand the test of time. Is the only thing. And He come and He died so that He might reach the depths of the deepest ocean for me and you.
Isn't it beautiful how the Lord can even use those that know Him not? We find the captain of that ship getting to tell a prophet of the Lord what he needed to do. Now I can remember when I become a teenager, I was raised in a Christian home and I gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 12. But like Jonah, I thought there was a place I could go outside of the will of the Lord. I was in that car and I began to listen. And you know how as children do, as they stray away from the principles that are taught by their parents. I was listening to a music. I began to listen to rock and roll stations on the radio, and it was because of the prayers of those. I believe. Don't you believe that Jonah had there was somebody praying for Jonah? That somebody, when they heard that he was going to Tarshish, began to pray. I can remember sitting in that little pickup truck of mine out in the driveway, and I was listening to a song I had listened to so many times. But the Holy Spirit began to open up my eyes, and I began to hear those words as a little child. And the Holy Spirit said to me, He said, "Daryl, what have you become? What have you become?" And in that cab of that pickup truck, Daryl found himself in the belly of a whale. And I realized that this life of mine was not Daryl's to live for his own enjoyment and his own gain. But Daryl had called, but that the Lord had called me out as He's called us all out to come and be a follower of Jesus Christ. Have you strayed from the way? Well, I want to tell you, the Lord has prepared a way. Though you might feel like you're all alone in the pits of the ocean, the Lord has made a way. You know, I've been studying. There's a theory of Einstein that there is nothing that goes faster than light. And I thought about that, you know, distant stars and distant galaxies are measured by the speed of light. And it was Einstein who theorized there is nothing in this universe that can travel faster than the speed of light. And as I was reading that, I will have to disagree with Einstein. There is a prayer. A prayer prayed from a repentant heart. Listen to me. Defies all known physics. There is no place that we can go in this life that a prayer prayed by a repentant heart will not reach the ears of God. And you know, as Jonah was saying that he turned his face, how would a man know? How would a man know in the belly of a whale at the bottom of the ocean in which direction was the temple? But I can see Jonah in his mind, maybe going back to his childhood, as his parents knelt and they prayed there at the temple. And he began thinking of those days. And he said that his prayer reached that temple if he only knew that God had surrounded him. His presence was there in the depths of that ocean. And each and every one of us, regardless of where we might find ourselves this present hour, it was a book I read, Corrie Ten Boom. Her sister had said that there is no pit that we could dwell in, no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. In this life, He has given us a means of which, an opportunity, as it were, to repent. Let us not put it off today. For there is a place that man can go, as it were, out of the favorable presence of the Lord, and it is called hell. And it's a place that not only would Jonah not want to go, but no man that has entered there has not regretted a billion times over, a billion times a billion, that he might have wished that he would have never attempted to flee the presence of the Lord.